Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. It is Tuesday, so that means it's time for Fantasy Focus as we gear up for the Waiver Wire Wednesday ads tomorrow. Who should you be trying to pick up for your squad? Helping us break all that down, Joe Bartle, Fantasy Focus, fantasy football expert at RotoWire. Joe, thanks so much for the time, as always, man. How was your week?
Yeah, it was pretty good. As a Packer fan, yeah. I guess it was fun to watch the 40-40 tie, but I would like to see my team, which is supposed to be a Super Bowl favorite, actually act like it over the past 2 weeks. So I'll have to wait one more week with the bye, at least.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to pick up Romeo Doubs this past week and, you know, have him for a pretty good fantasy day. But now with the bye week, I'll lead off with that. I'm wondering, is he someone I should be holding on to or kind of look elsewhere? If help's needed, should I be looking elsewhere right now? Or you think Doubs is worthy of a stash?
Yeah, I do think Doubs is kind of in that range of wide receiver three or flex, and the Packers have a pretty favorable upcoming schedule post-bye, at least until, say, week eight or so. And with more bye weeks to come, it's certainly possible you're going to run into this spot. And I just want to caution anyone, people see the 3 touchdowns, 60 receiving yards, and be like, all right, great, let's, you know, it's same for Trey Tucker last week. We found a guy. Right. And Romeo Doubs is the number one receiver for the Packers, but the way that they spread that ball around, and I think obviously to the detriment from a fantasy perspective, but I think sometimes to the detriment of the confidence of the receivers and the teammates, it is a great spot to be for the Packers offense, but not for fantasy. Doubs will always be Jordan Love's preferred target in the red zone, and especially on third down, need me third like receptions. But that doesn't really translate to actual fantasy production. So I get the excitement for it. I think Doubs is the best fantasy asset of the Packers receiving group right now, but it doesn't mean that he probably is anyone. I'm assuming he'll be more than a wide receiver three or flex. I think that's kind of that range he'll be all year.
Joe, I think I asked you about this last week about the rookie running backs and how, you know, they're just going to continue to get better and better. And you saw an awesome performance from Ashton Gentry. But I wanted to ask you about a player that stock seems to be slowly rising, actually quickly rising, with Woody Marks from the Texans. And the Texans run game, it's been well documented what's been going on with Joe Mixon and his injury. And then they had Nick Chubb for a majority of the start of the season. But against the Titans, and I take it with a grain of salt, the Tennessee Titans are the worst team in football. But his snap percentage was at a career high for him at 56, and then he made the most of his touches, 17 carries, 69 yards, a touchdown, but also in the receiving game as well, Joe, 4 receptions, 50 yards as well, and a touchdown in the receiving game. So for PPR leagues, he's got some value there too. Woody Marks, do you think, you know, maybe that's a one-off performance, or do you think this is someone that you should buy now before his stock really starts soaring through the roof, because it feels like the Texans offense is going to continue to utilize this rookie back that they took in the fourth round more and more as the season progresses?
Yeah, you hit the nail right in the head. I put this in my WaiverWire article right now up on the RotoWire site. I do daily updates for it. And actually, we should at least get to one of the other players I think is worth mentioning a little bit later in the show in terms of running backs. But Woody Marks for me was the obvious WaiverWire pickup. He was rostered in 30% of Yahoo leagues as of my article write up, I think either Monday morning or Sunday night. So odds are he might not be available in a lot of places, but I'm kicking myself that I wasn't more aggressive recommending him in past weeks. Because to me, looking at this now with, I guess, a breath of fresh air on it, this feels so much like the Tyrone Tracy situation last year. Then, but a rookie running back for the Giants, Devin Singletary was injured, Nick Chubb has just been ineffective. Tyrone Tracy comes in right away, supposedly just a pass-catching back, but then becomes like a running back too. Basically the entire season, the Giants' offensive line is bad. Texans' offensive line might be worse. Giants' offense last year for Tyrone Tracy wasn't very good, and Tracy still produced. I think that's sort of the same cadence we're going to see for Woody Marks. And the only difference is that as long as Nick Chubb is there and healthy and playing, it won't be Woody Marks' entire backfield to lose as it was for Tyrone Tracy last year. But I think, you know, I profile Woody Marks as more of a pass-catching specialist right away. In fact, the pre-week one and week one waiver articles I did, both referenced Woody Marks in that capacity. I did not assume he would get this sort of volume end of September. I thought it'd be more like a mid-October, late-October scenario. And frankly, I think it was the right call by the Texans. Now, the only word of caution, and this is really just one word of caution, Titans run defense in particular is one of the worst in the league. And while we might want to overreact to what Woody Marks did and how great the production is, and then he's widely available everywhere, comparing it to last week's Cam Scataboo or Trey Benson, who fell into really odd situations because the starters were injured, I don't think it's quite like that. Nick Chubb is still going to be there, but Woody Marks definitely needs to be on your team. I think he needs to be closer to like the 85, 90% roster rate on Yahoo leagues, which I think will happen after waivers pass Tuesday. And if you are in one of those leagues where it's like first come, first serve waiver priority, I would be wasting my top waiver, priority pick on a guy like Woody Marks. I think he is going to be legit rest of the season.
Joe, I got a question about another running back, and it's right here in New Orleans with Kendra Miller. We saw him have a really nice, productive day, 11 carries, 65 yards and a score, had his highest share snap count this year. And looking at that, you know, he's obviously sharing time with Alvin Kamara in this Saints backfield. But how are you feeling about Kendra Miller? Are you bullish on him going into week five against the New York Giants?
So let's tackle it on two different ways, and I'm honestly so happy I'm on with you guys. I think you can answer this probably better than the entire rest of America, it feels like, in terms of what the Saints are going to be this season and what they typically choose to do in terms of like a front office organization. If you're rostering or picking up Kendra Miller with the idea that you want a quality backup and a guy that would elevate to a higher role in the event the starter gets injured, no issue with that. That's no different than what Jordan Mason was at the start of this fantasy season. He was like a round 9 pick. And Aaron Jones is round 7 pick. Like, I totally get that. I think Alvin Kamara is still really good. He's been playing great. Like, it's not so much that Alvin Kamara is going to get moved away, like we just talked about with Woody Marks over Nick Chubb, mm-hmm. but that Kendra Miller and Alvin Kamara can work in conjunction. What is happening incorrectly in the fantasy universe, and again, I want you guys to tell me if I'm wrong, is that everyone's projecting an Alvin Kamara trade. And I understand the premise behind it. It's okay, the Saints aren't a very good football team. Nobody expected them to be very good at starting the season. You would move your assets, whatever it might be, in these scenarios. It especially happens at the MLB trade deadline, NBA trade deadline, things like that. A, the NFL doesn't work that way. But B, the Saints cap situation and the contract extension given to Alvin Kamara last year basically necessitates, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but necessitates that a team would effectively have to overpay financially and from a draft capital perspective in order for the Saints to take that dead cap hit and to also move a guy like Kamara, who's an important part of the team and part of the leadership and, frankly, the community in New Orleans, too. Compare that to a running back like Breece Hall for the Jets, a similarly 0-4 team, who is on the end of his rookie year contract, only costs $3.5 million, has zero dead cap penalty for the Jets. A guy like Isaiah Davis is far more interesting to me if you are trying to speculate on a team trading a starting running back. Now, again, I might be entirely wrong on this. I am a football nerd through and through. I love following the salary cap stuff, and I still have no idea the gymnastics that Mickey Loomis does on it feels like a daily basis. So if you guys tell me that it is very easy for the Saints to trade Kamara, that's great. But anything I see on SpotTrac and things like that would tell me otherwise.
No, you sound like you hit it right on the head there, Joe.
It seems like it's a situation down here, Joe, where it's we'll believe it when we see it type of thing. And granted, much can change over the next month before the NFL's trade deadline. But by all accounts, Alvin Kamara loves it here. He continues to say that he wants to retire a New Orleans Saint. And we'll see if anything changes over the next month, as I said. But as of now, just speaking to Coach Moore last night, he talked a lot about the 1-2 punch with the two of them. And it feels like moving forward, kind of establishing that run game, which they had great success with against Buffalo. Granted, once again, a bad run defense. That's going to start becoming their identity offensively moving forward.
I have zero issue, again, trying to say that Kendra Miller, who was a third-round pick a couple years ago, was in the doghouse, I thought, prematurely in some other coaching staffs that are since no longer there. Like, there's no issue in betting on the talent of Kendra Miller and working in conjunction with Kamara. What is happening nationally is people projecting an Alvin Kamara trade, and that is fundamentally wrong in my mind. And if we were to do that, if we're already projecting in week five, who are going to be some bad teams to trade away their starting running backs to the Chiefs, because that's basically all this is how can we make Patrick Mahomes even better? I would just point everyone to the Breece Hall part of things for the Jets, who have an easier contract to go ahead and acquire if you are Kansas City, and also would be willing to give up that draft cap without any dead cap happening as in relation to the Saints. Again, you guys, everyone here listening locally understands this. We've all seen the Saints game, but people, it feels like nationally, don't get what Alvin Kamara means to the New Orleans Saints. And for that, I'll say Kendra Miller is not anywhere near as high as he should be, or he is too high in the fantasy waiver wire rankings right now, because Kamara will, I think, be on that team for the foreseeable future.
You know, you mentioned it earlier, Joe, that you're a Packers fan, and we saw what Dak Prescott did on Sunday Night Football, going over 30 points for the first time this season in fantasy leagues. But George Pickens, and really the breakout performance for him, no CeeDee Lamb. You know, we had talked to some fantasy football folks last week about, oh, well, CeeDee's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks with this high ankle sprain. How much stock should you be putting into George Pickens as the team's new wide receiver one? And boy, he got put in that role. And he had been good this season, back-to-back 17.5-point games in PPR leagues against the Giants and the Bears. But then a real breakout performance against the Packers with, you know, 8 receptions on 11 targets, 134 receiving yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. Goes for over 30 points in PPR leagues. It just felt like Pickens really had his breakout performance. And for the foreseeable future, until CeeDee Lamb gets back, don't worry about, oh, the quality of the receivers behind him and how he might be seeing some double teams from opposing defenses. George Pickens is that guy when he's put in that wide receiver one role.
Yeah, well, let's expand on this because we saw the unfortunate injury of Tyreek Hill on Monday Night Football. Obviously, we're dealing with basically a neutered Ja'Marr Chase with Jake Browning being ineffective. CeeDee Lamb is out, obviously, for the next couple weeks as well, too. I know I'm missing at least Malik Nabers as well, right, with the ACL injury. There's a number of first-round picks in terms of, like, redraft August receivers that the unfortunate issue is nobody really sees, like, an obvious benefit. I made the argument in my waiver wire article, again, you can find it on RotoWire or my Twitter, JB Fantasy Sports. I actually don't mind picking up both Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton. Like, of all these really unfortunate injury situations, the Giants is probably one that I'm speculating on the most. But the issue is with Jackson Dart starting now this week aside, I don't think there's going to be a lot of volume in that passing attack. I think Brian Daboll wants to protect Jackson Dart at all costs, which means that it'll be like somewhere in the range of 25 pass attempts to 28 pass attempts per game. That doesn't mean Wandale Robinson won't see 8 targets or Darius Slayton doesn't get 4 or 5. But to this overall point, like going back to George Pickens, we would love for all these injured players to open up opportunities for the Kalonte Turpins of the world or Jalen Tolberts. And the reality is that we're talking about wide receiver 5s on your roster for the most part. Or with Tyreek Hill, I did a deep dive on, is Malik Washington worth picking up? And the answer was, Joe, why are you even doing to yourself? This is ridiculous. So, like, it's a frustrating spot to be in. Yeah, I think George Pickens' rest of season isn't going to be one of those guys that I'm like, I need to have him on my playoff teams because he'll make a difference. But right now, you can argue that he probably is going to be a top 10 receiver moving forward. I will slightly push back on the idea that this is George Pickens just as a breakout, and more importantly, the Packers' defense being exposed. Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine had zero clue what to do when George Pickens caught the ball. I have to think there are more confident defenses out there. It can't be that bad every single time. And unfortunately, as a Packer fan, I have watched many competent or incompetent defenses, and that looked very similar to me. So Pickens is going to be a good receiver, especially with CeeDee Lamb out. I still would think Jake Ferguson as well, with the small funnel in Dallas, the way it goes, will also do well as a tight end position. But yeah, I mean, Pickens is like a, let's say, wide receiver 15 at the floor for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I'm totally on board with that.
Last one for you, Joe. I'm curious, if you're streaming defenses, who do you like out there that's on the waiver wire potentially to add to your squad right now, some matchups that might be good?
Yeah, typically the Cardinals are available, even about how bad the Titans have been. I think every team that's won against the Titans has gotten 8 or more fantasy points on defense.
Nice.
I don't think the Cardinals' defense is like all that good, and they've lost a lot of secondary pieces. So if this is the one week in the set changes, that's fine. But they won't get you negative points either. And sometimes that's all we need, is just kind of a winning battle, 3 or 4 points. I would say the Rams' defense is interesting, too. A short week against the banged-up Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle isn't back yet either. The Niners need this one, and I never want to bet against Kyle Shanahan, but this is a good spot for that Rams defense, which has been opportunistic in terms of turnovers, to also benefit too. So between the Cardinals and I think the Rams, that's probably 2 pieces. I would not go to Jacksonville. I've seen that one recommended in a few places. I don't want to mess with the Chiefs right now. I know the Jaguars are getting lots of turnovers.
Right.
That feels unsustainable to me, and especially against Patrick Mahomes and company. I don't want to mess with Jacksonville this week.
Awesome stuff. Joe Bartle, fantasy football expert at RotoWire. You can follow him at Twitter, at JB Fantasy Sports. What can folks find at RotoWire right now, Joe? I know you mentioned you have your waiver wire ads up there right now.
Yeah, I have the waiver wire article. It does get updated daily up until Thursday's game. But more importantly, the box score breakdown article, I think, does a great job looking at some of the extra data. My colleague Jerry Donabedian does a great job, and that's every Tuesday out there. I think guys overall can get a lot of fantasy knowledge from the RotoWire site.
Thank you so much, Joe, and on to week 5 we go. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Bartle, fantasy football expert at rotowire.com.